for the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. It is the FA Trophy first round proper, and we speak to a manager of a club with a very big FA Trophy pedigree. Simon Lane is the new gaffer at Kingstone. You know, there's a Sunday home tie in the FA Trophy this weekend, but of course they are a club of nomadic lifestyle without a home to call their own. But we'll speak to Simon. But first, before that, we do speak to another manager who's wrapped up 500 appearances in the dugout for his club. Pat McManus at Brockenhurst Town in the Wessex Premier League. As he mentions, success comes in different styles, but it appears to be successful both in his own eyes and the eyes of many others that I've spoken to from what I've seen at his club there. They also face a FA Vars trip to Clevedon Town in the second round of the FA Vars in a couple of weekends' time. So we talked to him about that. Brockenhurst Town also being one of those FA Vars clubs that have competed in every competition since the FA Vars began in 1974-75. Rounding off the show, of course, Matt Badcock of the Non-League Paper, who helps us with the latest news of the week, including managerial changes and what we can expect to read in this weekend's Non-League Paper. So plenty to come. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Now, on this show, we do talk about managerial changes week in, week out. So it's very nice every now and then to celebrate those who stick around and dedicate years to one club in the dugout. My first guest celebrated his 500th game at his club last weekend, a win no less in the FA Vars. Was it the perfect day? Let's find out and give a warm Non-League Football Show welcome back to manager of Brockenhurst FC, Pat McManus. Welcome back, Pat.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, how are you? 500 games. When you first joined that small New Forest Village club in 2013, did you expect it to be for this long?
No, I didn't. I said that to somebody else this week who asked me the same question. I didn't envisage it for one moment, to be fair. And I'll be perfectly frank, it kind of feels like yesterday when I first had a conversation with John Pyatt, who was my predecessor, who got me in, really. He was sort of badgering me for a couple of years to come over and do it with him. I'm not a do-it-with sort of person. And he said to me, look, I don't want to do it any longer. I'd rather sort of support somebody else in the role. And would you come over? And that was in 2013. I said yes, and I've been there ever since.
And the question I always ask managers that have been in the job for so long is, how's the role changed over those 10 years? You know, it does seem to be that as well as being a football manager and having all that tactical now, you probably need to be a social worker as well nowadays.
Oh, you need a bit of everything, to be fair, Tim. I think any manager now will tell you that. Especially if you're at a club like ours, where I'm blessed, really, because I get left alone. I've got quite a lot of, more than quite a lot of autonomy. There's zero interference on the football front. So I'm busy, really. Nobody else gets involved with the players.
It's not even a part time. When my phone's to my ear for most of the day, I run my own business, but I would say it's probably 70-30 in favour of football, my phone calls.
Yeah. And I don't want to disrespect the great off-the-field team that you've got there either, and great commercial support that you've got. But compared to some of the others in the Wessex Premier Division, yours is still something of a shoestring budget, if people remember shoestrings. Did we have shoestrings? I don't know. Everybody's got Velcro nowadays, haven't they? but is that perhaps even more of a carrot for you, because that's your bag?
Yeah, absolutely. There are some big spenders in our division. There's some big spenders across the whole of Step 5 now.
We're good at what we do on our resources, and you know, and that's how we, you know, that's how we measure our success really over the period where I've been in. You know, I always say success is subjective. You know, there's been a lot of clubs that have come and gone, spent a lot of money. You know, there's probably two or three clubs that have spent in 2 or 3 years what we've spent in 10, and have got nothing to show for it. So, you know, that's how we judge, you know, our success. You know, the place itself, the infrastructure, you know, the goodwill around the place, our reputation within the league itself, and across the Step 5 itself and beyond, really, and you know, the experience that people have when they come and visit us, and when they leave, really. So
yeah,
and that's something we've built, and you know, that's not something that happens overnight.
Yeah, I think one of your strengths is nurturing young talent, isn't it? And a number of players have come through your side; they've gone on to successful careers higher up the pyramid. And what's nice to see is most of them seem to stay in touch with you and the club too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm in touch all the time with lads who we've encouraged and pushed on up the pyramid, and that's one of our strengths. We don't ask players to hang around as soon as we feel they're ready. I actively find them football clubs to go to, and you know, I have conversations with managers and tell them they should be looking at this sort of person, and if, you know, if I don't prompt that conversation when managers speak to me, you know, we actively encourage players to go to these clubs and have a look, even when sometimes they don't want to. We don't ask them to be comfortable at this level. You know, we want them to test themselves, and if it doesn't work for whatever reason, they always know that there's somewhere for them to come back to if they need to, whether that's in, you know, 3 months or 3 years. And if you look at our team, you see the profile of the player sometimes is you know, players that have been there, been at the club sometimes on one or maybe two occasions. Mm-hmm. So,
and you've already mentioned there that you're constantly on the phone to different people, and I've heard from many a manager, coach, player, even referees praising what you've achieved at Brockenhurst. Many saying you could easily manage at a much higher level. Have you ever been tempted to move away?
I've not been tempted. Obviously, I've been asked numerous occasions across my time here, there's been offers, etc. But the time's never been. I've felt the time's never been right for me, and the conditions here have always suited me. And if they haven't, then maybe it would have been easier for me to say yes to other people. But you know, I like the place, I like what we do, and I like how we do it. And like I say, I've got, you know, to a degree, I've got full autonomy, certainly on the footballing side. I've got full autonomy. I never, you know, there's zero interference on what we do and how we do it. If that was to change, then you know, there might be a different conversation to have. But you know, I'm always supported in what I do, and you know, I don't fall out about if there's no money to spend or not enough money to spend. I see that as a challenge to get the best out of what we've got, really. Yeah. And you know, and sometimes we're successful. We have a season where we punch well above our weight, and sometimes, you know, last season was a difficult season, and there were lots of reasons for that, which, you know, sometimes it's more enjoyable than other seasons. But we go about our business in a certain way, and we always tend to do it with a smile on our face at the conclusion.
Well, and that, I think that's the thing that, that we learn about successful clubs. And I mentioned this last week when we spoke to the Portishead town manager, that you know, there's plenty of similarities between the way the two clubs thrive. Obviously, you guys haven't got as many chimney pots that Portishead town have got popping up everywhere around with the new developments going on. But you know, one of your own strengths is the you've got the men's first team that you've been overseeing. You've also got that successful under-18s development squad. There's youth teams from 6 to under-16 girls teams. There's plenty of people gaining pride from putting on a Badgers shirt.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's you know, even last weekend, the place was full of our youth section as mascots, and you know, we had their parents watching, and there's we always seem to see lots of people here who have played for Brockenhurst throughout the years. And talking of the catchment area, that's you know, that's a difficult scenario for us, because we're sort of bang in the middle now of a lot of sides who it can work for us, and in a way, but there's a lot of sides now who are step 4, step 3. So invariably, when we're recruiting in the summer, it's quite difficult, because lads who, in their own minds, they see themselves as playing either step 3 or step 4, and then sometimes they realise the harsh reality by about the last week of July or the first week of August, and you know, the conversations that I had with them about step 5, they want to have again just about a week before kickoff. So so if you look at my squad now that we're in November, it's quite different to what it was first week of August. So we suffer from that perennially, really. But you know, we always, so sometimes we take a while to get going. But like I say, we're kind of there now, and obviously the playoff scenario this time, for the first time at step 5, 2-5 playoffs, will have a big factor and a big bearing on how we do our business this year as well. So
yeah, so you're currently what, fifth in the table, the 13 played a 13 game season. I mean, you've touched on it there. We've seen clubs come from the Wessex League, go up, have a couple of successful seasons, and then come back down, and sometimes it's affected them. So bottom of the Wessex Premier at the moment, Lymington Town, who were up there and have come back down and maybe struggled to maintain a position in step 4, and it's hit them hard as well coming back down. Could Brockenhurst ever compete at the next level up?
We had this conversation in the summer, really. We've got a strong committee, we've got a good back office, and ultimately, the way we conduct a football club is, we would never overstretch ourselves at all. So when we get to if we got to April, at the moment, I think we've got a side that on any given Saturday in this division, we'd put ourselves up against anybody. So if that's happening in a playoff scenario and we're fifth at the moment, we would already be planning for what comes after April. So if we were in a position to go up, then we've got enough people around us to make sure that we're in the right condition to maintain it, should it happen.
Yeah, and as I mentioned with Portishead Town last week, they have this plenty going on off the field to build that social, which attracts young players, attracts other people to come and get involved in the club. And I'm looking, you know, similarities between the clubs off the field this week. I know you've got fireworks on Friday, you've got a kids Halloween party on Tuesday, you've got an evening with Razor Ruddock the following Friday. I know you've got the darts exhibition coming up with Kevin Painter before Christmas. There's various bingo, quiz nights, music nights. Social has to be part of a club like yours, isn't it?
Absolutely. We've got a great clubhouse that's just been refurbed, so we're trying to make the most of that. And so we've got a social committee. We've got subcommittees within the overarching committee itself to make sure every part of the club is functioning properly. And just so we don't catch a cold and fall over. And you know, we want to be, you know, we want to be in good condition on all fronts, you know, financially, football wise, and socially. And if we bring all that together, you know, we're going to be in good shape going forward.
Yeah, and I mentioned that win last weekend was in the FA Vars, and Brock are one of those FA Vars 50 clubs who competed in every competition since the 74-75 first season. Does that make it a little bit of an extra special competition for you?
I think it should be a special competition for everybody at step five, because it, you know, ultimately it should be a more level playing field as opposed to the FA Cup, because you know, you should have a chance in this, unless you come up against one of these, you know, the massively big spenders in this at this level. But even, you know, even then, it's you know, you've got a chance on the day. We had a massive slice of good fortune, because you know, we actually exited this the Vars in the on the round before on penalties. We played a side in our division where it transpired. They played an illegal player. You know, we played a game which we absolutely dominated, but, you know, we couldn't hit a barn door. And we conceded a goal in the 88th minute, which levelled it up for them. And then we lost on penalties. You know, and we were out. And then it transpired that the lad who scored their equaliser actually played in the previous round for another team in our division, so we got a reprieve. And that was kind of the mantra from last week. Look, you've got this chance, you know, don't blow it, you know, you're back in now, make sure you perform. And we played ever so well last week, to be fair.
Yeah, and there's always a story behind the winners of the FA Vars. I mean, you know, that always adds a little bit of extra to it. You're through to the second round of the FA Vars, which will be Saturday the 11th of November. A lengthy trip to Clevedon Town, not too far away from Portishead Town that we spoke about earlier. There's prize money in the FA Vars, but not that much. So I'm guessing probably not a money spinner, this one as a tie, but a great occasion and opportunity for the club.
It is. Yeah, Clevedon are going well in the Western League. They're unbeaten at the moment. They're top of their division. You're right about the money. I think the prize money for the next round is £900, and we've just been quoted over £1,000 to get there. So it's a little bit lopsided when you compare it to the FA Cup. But it's just the, you know, it's the competition itself. If you have some good fortune, you know, you're five or six games away from getting to Wembley against teams that operate at the same level as you. So there's always that carrot, and there's always the thought that, you know, you're not going to play teams that are levels and levels and levels above you. Mm. So you've just got to perform in it and then see what happens.
And back to league action this weekend at the Mead and Skoda Arena. The pitch at Brockenhurst, we've had a really, really bad week with weather, certainly you have locally as well. But it is one of the better fields to play on. Is it looking good for the weekend?
It is. I was there today, actually. The pitch is drained really well based on the rain that we've had over the last few days. So if we're dry tomorrow and Saturday's okay, there won't be any issues. We've spent a lot of money on the pitch last three or four seasons with Southern Ground Care. So the pitch is in really good condition. It's, you know, we're sort of reaping the benefit now of the money that's been spent on it previously. So yeah, the pitch is in really good condition. I don't envisage any problems for this weekend when Fareham Town are the visitors. So we're looking forward to that.
Well, I better let you go because I think you've got training this evening to organise as well. So
I've got about 14 or 15 players all staring at me outside my car at the moment. So
well, Pat McManus, thanks for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show. We look forward to talking to you probably before you've wrapped another 500 games under your belt. But congratulations, and speak to you again very soon.
Good stuff. Thanks, Tim.
So whilst there are some FA Vars matches to finish off this weekend due to last weekend's postponements, this is an FA Trophy weekend. In fact, it's the first round of the competition, so let's talk to a club in one of only 32 ties this round, and a club with a great FA Trophy pedigree too. Back-to-back winners in 1999 and 2000. Much has happened at the club since then, including several managers, but the latest is an old friend of the show, and I'm sure well aware of what the FA Trophy means to his club. So let's welcome to the Non-League Football Show manager at Kingstonian FC, Simon Lane. Welcome, Simon.
Evening, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. I say much has happened since Kingstonian last won the FA Trophy, but to me, Kingstonian is synonymous with those FA Trophy wins. And in a season where winning manager Jeff Chappell was finally retired from football, is that an omen for the UK success in the competition?
It could be. I mean, I'm well aware of the history, and it's, you know, to be fair, it's one of the attractions about coming to Kingstonian, and supporters still talk about it. I still talk about it. You know, it was a great period for them. But as you say, a lot of things have happened, some good, some not so good, a lot not so good. And so it's a little bit of a different world now, and I would love to us to be in a position where we're there challenging for a Wembley final or wherever it's held this year, and that'd be amazing. But you know, I love the trophy anyway. It's a fantastic tournament through my sort of history in it as a player and a manager. And I just think it's a good opportunity for us to really enjoy our football and put the club on the map if you can get on a little run. We've had a good start. We beat Hastings away kind of against all the odds a couple of weeks ago. That was good for us. Really did it in good style. So, we're looking forward to our game on Sunday.
Well, that's it. Your game's on Sunday. You're home to Whitehawk. It's the only game on Sunday. Because you're ground sharing at Tootenham Mitcham's Imperial Fields ground this year, how does that affect your preparations? You're clearly training this evening, as you would on a Thursday, but a Sunday game, is that unusual?
It is, yeah. We've had one this year. When we had an FA Cup and the same situation happened, too soon playing on the Saturday, so we've had to accommodate that. It hasn't really affected it too much. I mean, more so was we had a game last night on a Wednesday. So instead of doing the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, we've got a Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday. So it gives us an extra day to recover. We're in doing a recovery session anyway now tonight. So that was always the plan. But no, we're looking forward to it. And, you know, we had a really good result last time we played on a Sunday. So as long as everyone's back from church in time, we'll be okay, I think.
Yeah, you've been in the role since, February this year. it is a big club. It is a big name. And I know that was one of the things, as you've already referred to there, that attracted you to the club. But a club that's been, nomadic since, 2016? Is that a different dynamic than you've experienced in your great managerial careers to date?
Yeah, because the expectation amongst us all, you know, and me as a sort of fan from a distance and all the supporters, the expectation is still there, that and it feels like Kingstonian is still a big club. Of course, we've got our economic challenges in this league this year and as we had last year. But, you know, I've come in and picked it up. And, you know, fortunately, we managed to get safe last year with a good set of results, and I had to change the squad completely. So, and now we've got a new squad again for this year. We obviously inevitably lose quite a few. So it's difficult. No one who knows us knows that it's not easy. But you know, it keeps you alive, and we're here to pick up as many results as we can, and the first and foremost, try and keep our status. And as a Premier Division team, which Kingstonian certainly should be.
Yeah, I mentioned your managerial career, because weren't you a manager in the Maltese Premier League that's sort of in your early 30s?
That's right, 30, 31. So that was the turn of the century as well. So, Nashville Lions, really enjoyed that. It was fantastic, full-time, and a similar situation, actually, to Kingstonian. They were in relegation trouble when I went over and hadn't won a game. And I moved over completely and managed to string together some good results. And in the end, it was really successful. So really enjoyed it. It was like a break from reality, really. And you know, I was living in a nice hotel, and the money wasn't great, but everything was there. and they're very passionate about the football, the Maltese. So if you do well, they'll love you forever. If you don't, then they'll let you know. But fortunately, we did quite well. So it's always nice when I go back now. I've been back a couple of times since, and but they love their football, really love their football. So it was a really enjoyable period for me, as a young manager.
We spoke to Pat McManus at Brockenhurst earlier on the show, 500 games in charge there last week. And he was saying that how being a manager's changed over that time. I mean, you've experienced development football, academy football, football overseas and that sort of thing. How is being a manager different from when you first sort of moved into that coaching role?
Yeah, well, it's actually my 25th year this year, which I can't believe, really. I'm still alive and still kicking. But, I think the characters have changed. The players, the type of players, the mentality of the players is slightly different. Those old-school characters of, with loads of resilience and sort of dogged determination, they're less of those about these days. And therefore, your management style has to be different. And I always look to develop that anyway in terms of how you deal with people. It's just a different way of doing it. There's a lot more cuddling, there's a lot more cajoling, and a lot less teacup throwing and as it used to be in the old days, although I didn't do too much of that, but it happens every now and then, because you've just got to evolve and change. Some people don't actually, and they end up finishing, but I've tried to evolve as we've gone and just treat people like I wanted to be treated as a player, really. That's the sort of core thing that you'd keep all the way through your career, and I've tried to keep that. But it is different, and I think there's more, it's a trickle down from the Premier League and Pep and all these fantastic players that you see at the highest level. There's more football now, and obviously most of them come out of academies, so a purist football from a purist perspective, so there's more of that now. And certainly in our league, we've it's quite a good technical league, very fast-paced and quite high technical league. So that's changed as well. You just have to adapt in both from a man management point of view and technically and tactically. So I'm enjoying that, the evolution of it. So there's a few more years left. Hopefully, I can continue evolving.
And you mentioned the league, you're in the ESPN Premier League Step 3, and you're sort of teetering around the relegation places at the moment, very early days in the season. What is the aim this season? A good trophy run, that's stay in the division so you can build for next season?
Both those things, really. I mean, good trophy run would be fantastic, especially with the tradition of the club, as you mentioned earlier. And we've been very competitive this year, which is what we can be, really, with what we're working with. We haven't really got the points on the board that the performances have dictated. So I'm hoping there's a little turn in fortunes and luck, really. We lost in the 92nd minute on last night, for example, just through a lack of concentration after a really good performance. So I'm pleased with where we're playing and how we're playing. And every team we play knows that it'll be a fight against us, but we just need to turn those good performances into results. Now we've had some good ones, but I think we've left a few points on the pitch so far this year. So the aim really is to survive in this league, given the economics and how competitive this league is. I mean, it's just crazy how competitive it is. Everyone will be bunched up, and literally you've got to be on it every single game. Because anyone can beat anyone. You can see the Hornchurch people like that maybe pulling away, but everybody else is. We've played a lot of the top teams already, and we've given a good account of ourselves. But as I said, just not quite as many points as I would have liked or we deserve, really, I think. So we've got the rest of the season to try and put that right.
And looking at that Isthmian League Premier Division, it is a bit like a who's who of non-league football, isn't it? We say Kingstonian's got a great pedigree in non-league football, but you've got names like Canvey Island, Hornchurch, already mentioned there, Billericay Town, Bolton Regis Town, Dulwich Hamlet. I can see why every game's competitive.
Yeah, and such great clubs with big crowd. I mean, there was 3,100 at the Dulwich game a week ago that we had away from home. And the Case fans were still heard in that one, which is brilliant. And we lost narrowly in that one, 3-2. but you know, great environment to play football. And there's, you know, like you say, there's a few of those good old clubs, which, you know, the K's have locked horns with over the years. And no, it's a good every week's a challenge, and every week's exciting. Every week's good to play against these teams. And you know, if you manage to string a couple of results together, you can get yourself up the league. But you certainly can't get complacent about where you are, no matter who you are, because there's always another difficult opponent around the corner.
And I sense, you said 25 years in this coaching malarkey, I sense you're still enjoying it as much as you ever did.
Yeah, it's not easy. There's times you tear your hair out. But no, I wouldn't do it if I didn't. I just find the challenge of it is really energising, really. I know it deflates you sometimes and takes your energy away, but on a Saturday night. But we've lost, you know, in a really heartbreaking way last night in the 92nd minute when we deserve something. But you know, you dust yourself off. Here we are again tonight, and the guys are turning it around, and we're all about getting ready for Sunday. So that's it in the non-league, isn't it? It comes thick and fast, and you know, I hear Premier League managers complain about the amount of games and stuff, but they want to live with in the non-league world where, you know, people have to do jobs as well and still have a game on a Tuesday after, you know, the Saturday, etc. So no, it's fine. I've always done it. I still love it. I think I'm contributing and making a difference and still growing with it. So as long as that's happening, I'll keep doing it.
Well, Simon Lane, you're making a difference to the Non-League Football Show. Pleasure to have you back on. Best of luck at the weekend, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Thanks so much. Pleasure to speak to you. Take care.
Time then once again to head on over to Non-League Paper Towels, and welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. It's editor-at-large, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm here again. I'm here again, and so are you. And we're on this cup. But well, is this cup, that cup, a weekly calendar at the moment, aren't we? Weekend after weekend. But the weather played havoc with that last weekend. So just to confuse us all, we lost a few of the FA Vars games. Some were able to play midweek. Others, mainly the longer journeys, having their ties played this weekend. I think we've got 14 in total from that 108 ties in the round. It makes it hard to keep on top of it all. Plus, of course, we've had the draw this week for the next round, the second round proper of the FA Vars.
It's like a little bonus week. It's a bit like the Champions League, isn't it? You know, where they split games over weeks just to be confusing. But as you say, good reasons because of the weather that came last week. I think I woke up last Saturday morning sort of hearing the rain whacking off my windows, fearing the worst. And actually, in the end, it wasn't quite as bad as I sort of thought heading down to the office, and maybe we're going to have to redraw the whole paper. But as you say, quite a few FA Vars games fell to it, and had some in midweek. Some more ties to be settled this weekend. I mean, it goes back to the days of the replays, doesn't it, where the replays would be a week later, and so we don't have those these days, straight to penalties and get it done on the day. So a little extra week, bonus week of FA Vars action. No bad thing.
I think credit to all of the clubs involved as well, because most of those ties were called off very early. There wasn't sort of some of these late postponements that we do have sometimes, and you know, sensible planning as well. With, as I say, some of these longer ties being played this weekend, that makes it easier on both players who are, you know, have got full time jobs elsewhere as well, but also on the fans to be able to make these games.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the. That's kind of been a big topic this week, isn't it? With the FA Cup and Horsham's game being moved to the Friday night up at Barnsley, and obviously sort of how disappointed they are, you know, because of fans missing out, and that's maybe something we'll come on to in a bit. But you know, that's, you know, fans getting to games and tight turnaround is important as it is for the players, and I guess that's been one of the good things about the Vars, where it can shift back to the Saturday, but if you can get it in the midweek and it works for both, then that's been a good option as well, especially at this stage of the tournament of the competition, when the journeys aren't as long as they will get if you go further into them, when you know, teams going travelling the whole country for games. So yeah, credit to the clubs for calling the games off as early as possible and then getting them rearranged so quickly and the turnaround that comes with that.
Yeah, well, you've touched upon the FA Cup. It is, of course, coming up next weekend, the FA Cup first round. And, you know, I know from my own experience what a wonderful, exciting time it is for your club to be in the FA Cup first round. But also, as a non-league football club, it can break your dreams, break your hearts as well. Just the arrangements that need to go in, particularly if you're a home club, or the various meetings, safety meetings, various hoops and costs and everything else that go with it. But as you mentioned as well, if you're the away club, you want to be on TV, you want to play that big game, but it can come with some heartbreak as well.
Yeah, I think, as you say, you've been through it yourself, and I've spoken to many clubs kind of down the years when you're sort of trying to badger them for previews and things like that, kind of often a week ahead of when the game is, but also in the week building up, and you can sort of always get a sense of kind of how busy things are, and going to these games as well, people who running around everywhere just trying to put on the best for their clubs, and not so often they do, and almost always they do put on a great show for sort of the onlookers, whether it's on TV or whether it's people turning up out of general interest as well, which you always get in the FA Cup. But with Horsham, I do feel for them really, because I think one thing that people don't always think about with the FA Cup and fans and what it means and getting to that first round, and for the players as well, is it isn't actually just about the game. Mm. It's about the whole weekend and what it means to the excitement of going up, often the day before a game, staying in a hotel, which is often isn't done kind of particularly at sort of step three, step two levels as well, when those sort of clubs get to this stage and have long trips, and they kind of get all that and that experience. And I've talked to so many players over the years, and they love that sort of feeling, like, as you, they'll often say, I feel like a sort of football league player, Premier League player, where you're going away and you're doing it all properly and having your pre-match meals and all that kind of thing. And but also for the fans as well, with Horsham now having to go up to Barnsley on a Friday night, obviously this has come from South Yorkshire Police, as what we sort of understand, and the club chairman put out an impassioned plea about the game, and they said that they did want it to be on the Sunday instead, so they still get that weekend experience. But also, with kids being back at school, that sort of rules them out and getting up, and that'll be fans, but also families of players, and what that means for them as well. And it's the whole weekend; it's not just about when the ball is kicked at the referee's first whistle until the end. It's everything that comes with it, and the experience and the memories that come along with it, and that sometimes gets a little bit lost. It's often not about the result.
Yeah, and how often have you and I spoken to somebody that's helping out a media at a non-league football club, maybe a secretary, maybe a manager, maybe even a player, where that bug for non-league football caught them when their club played in the FA Cup first round and they were able to go and watch them?
Yeah, exactly. These are moments that live well beyond just the game and the result. It's what it can do for a club, but what it does for football fans as well, and young kids who might have sort of caught the bug to watch their local side, and then they get to go and watch them at a big football league club. It's amazing. It's an experience that sort of sticks. It's a bit like when the teams get to the FA Vars final, FA Trophy final, kind of what that brings. But as we said, special competition, special round, special weekend coming up. But the week after this one, but difficult one for Horsham, with having to now go up on a Friday.
Yeah, but maybe I don't know. Sometimes in adversity, that gets the best out of your team. Of course, this weekend is actually the scheduled FA Trophy first round weekend, and some big weekends to come there. No new entrants in this round. It is the first round proper, but there's just 32 ties, including some big ties. I was looking, in the northern half of the draw, we've got FC United against Radcliffe, Macclesfield against Howzo in town.
Yeah, some big games. I think I saw earlier that Howzo are taking a fair old number up to Mac as well. And a big away following going there to see that game. And it's interesting times with Mark Duffy's just left Macclesfield. His role as Macclesfield manager made a change. Kind of looking at their, I think on the face of it, obviously they're just outside the playoffs, or in that sort of area of the table, in front of me. But they feel like they need to make a change to make sure they get to where they want to go. And obviously, as we know at that moment, Radcliffe are flying in that league, as we would have expected under Anthony Johnson and Bernard Morley. And you know, they know how to get a winning team out on the pitch, and they you know, great characters of a non-league game. But they yeah, they'll fancy their that trip at FC United as well, a big sort of derby. That'll be a fascinating game as well. And as it, as we often see, you know, this is the, as you've seen over the last few years, clubs coming in at this stage from step three, and obviously even step four before in the last few years as well, you know, can have really good runs in the competition. And not least Hornchurch, obviously went and won the thing a couple of years ago. So it's a competition that kind of, it always feels a bit, these cup runs kind of happen for clubs, and you know, suddenly they can be a few games away from Wembley. You don't actually have to win that, all that many games to like really get down to those final stages. So yeah, it's going to be a fascinating one this weekend.
Yeah, and you mentioned two big ties there in the northern half of the draw, and I'm sure two bumper crowds as well. Equally, I'd expect some bumper crowds at Dulwich against Lewis, and Bognor Regis Town against Gosport Borough as well. Again, some big names. Because we've only got 32 ties in this round, and then the step two sides come in the next round here. There really is that opportunity to sort of make their mark and put their name on this season's competition in the FA Trophy.
Yeah, definitely. And as we said before, when the step two teams coming in, the size of some of the step two clubs these days, there's, you know, there's a potential for a really, for a real biggie in the next round of the trophy as well. It's giving it that kind of, you know, FA Cup feel as you get into the later qualifying rounds and then even the first round. So, great opportunities for all these clubs. You know, Gosport, you think down there, you've got Joe Lee and Pat Saracci, very young management of sort of mid-20s. It's quite distressing when you interview Pat a few times, and reminds me how old he is. I think he's like 25, 26 now. It's, but you know, making their mark in management, you know, would have played in the competition as players, and now going in as managers. Having been at Petersfield last year in their first management job, and come over to Gosport where they've played in the past as well this season. So great talking points there. And as you know, Dulwich, not been the easiest of seasons so far, but obviously relegated last year out of step two. But yeah, a nice sort of tie, you know, a big bumper crowd with Lewis, and two clubs who've done a lot of good off the field in recent years.
Yeah, and you touched upon it earlier in managerial changes, and as you know, I spent the day on various roller coasters, flumes, spinners, and etc. And I'm not the best suited to all of those, but I don't think
I know what it feels like to be a manager.
I don't think I'd ever want to be on that managerial merry-go-round. Yeah, I've done 26 years with my club, and I'm not sure, you know, I could last as a manager, because you know, that all that changed so quickly. I mean, this week there's been more ins and outs across the pyramid. You mentioned the big one, Mark Duffy, the latest not to be able to live up to expectations at Macclesfield. But and you've also mentioned young managers elsewhere, and I thought that. AFC Rushden & Diamonds announcing the 31-year-old Michael Harriman as their new man to replace Chris Nunn, who we announced had left a couple of weeks back. I thought that was young, but you just remind me that I'm actually, you know, I could probably be the grandfather of some of these managers nowadays.
Well, I wouldn't comment on your age, Tim. I wouldn't be... Won't be so disrespectful as that. Was it your birthday this week?
That was last week, yeah. Yeah, it's been and gone. Oh, been and gone, yeah.
On for another one soon. But yeah, they are getting younger, these managers. They are getting younger. I think I've said before on here, but I used to, you know, there's players when I first started at the paper you'd be interviewing, they've gone sort of 22s, 23s, and now some of them are going into management, or they've become the caretaker manager as well. And you think, I feel like I've been at this a long time as well. It does make me feel a bit old when these managers are being announced these days. But There's still hope for us yet.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether there must be a GCSE in football management as well now, because we've obviously had Mark White discussing the fact that he hasn't got his coaching badges yet, and whether that might be an issue if Dorking Wanderers ever went beyond and up into the Football League. And you know, you're seeing all of these younger managers coming through, but they've all got more qualifications, and I think I've got letters in my name.
Yeah, I think there's, I wouldn't be surprised if there is a football GCSE or whatever it's called these days, and that's getting me sound old as well. But yeah, I think there's like kind of, you can see for some that they know, they identify early on that maybe actually as a player it might not be, you know, they might not get kind of where they want, but if they can, you know, with all the resources these days and the education, you know, the, how much information is out there from all sports as well, it's amazing. The stuff that you can sort of at the click of a button can kind of get onto and be learning about, and some, you know, really dedicate themselves to the coaching craft and management. And it's I think they're all I just recognize, you know, non-league, they're all a bit mad to do it and put themselves in sport. A unique sort of job it is, but it's it's great to see, you know, how many, you know, all the young blood kind of coming through, and players who kind of get to their end of their careers, as you say, and then want to can't not be in football, and it's a great route for many of them to take.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, actually, if anybody is listening out there, if you've got your FA number, your FAN, as it's often known as, and anybody can register for one of those for free, and there is there's a number of free FA learning packages that you can dip your toe into the waters and have a go at on their online courses, and I know that's, you know, no sort of replacement for practical courses, but it is a way of getting on there. And then there's obviously the level ones or the intro to coaching football, I think, as it's now called, and away on there. So it is worth people checking out if you have got that desire to move into football. There's things about identifying talent, there's the welfare courses, there's the safeguarding courses. You know, it is a great way to begin your education in football off the field. Anyway, we were talking about managers, weren't we? And I'm just sort of looking at my list here. Yeah, we mentioned Paul Barnes being sacked at Hastings United last week when we spoke with John Couch, and this week we see Chris Agata revealed as his replacement. When we talk about this revolving managerial merry-go-round, it was interesting to see that also shown the door with his side bottom of the Northern Premier Division 1 West. We had Danny Glover this week leaving Hensford, and Harry Harris and his all of his staff also left Walsall Wood around the same time, and they've turned up as the new team at Hensford.
Chris got to go at Hastings, and kind of always felt for him when he was there before, because they were right on course, weren't they, for promotion up to step three. Had it not been for that infamous COVID season, when obviously the 2019-20 was abandoned and then made null and void, and they were looking at they were right on for it. So it kind of was denied that opportunity, and then he's sort of gone away. I think it was in November 21 he left. He's been coaching in the EFL with Stevenage, and obviously in the meantime Gary Elphick got the club up that season after Chris left. He sort of laid, you know, a lot of great foundations early, Chris. Gary Elphick got the club up and at step three, and so they made an early change this year, and Chris has gone back in there, and you know, be looking to kind of pick up where he left off in many ways. You know, and get them, I think, sort of mid table. I think he's had a win already in his first game on Tuesday night. So that was a good start on his welcome return then, kind of to get the club going again in the spin prem. And as you say, Hensford, been a very difficult period for them, hasn't it? You know, they almost weren't playing football this season with everything that happened in the summer, where they actually announced they were withdrawing from the National League system, and there's a big turnaround. Frankly, you know, we'll see a big famous non-league name like that go off the map. So they managed to sort it and continue at step four, obviously, after their relegation. But it's been a difficult start, and you know, like for many of these clubs, people, managers incoming will see the potential of a club like Hensford and where it could fit in the past, and believe that they can, you know, get them going again. I think the club's still kind of up for sale technically, isn't it? Mm. They kind of got Aidan Dando's in charge there at the moment. It's said recently that it's there for a quid for anyone who wants to take it on. So yeah, obviously. The incoming management team will be all about getting some wins on the board as soon as possible.
Yeah, there's always difficulties at clubs, and they're the sort of things that we don't always have a full insight on. And Nuneaton Borough are one of those clubs this week. The local newspaper reporting that an eviction notice has been served on the club. No word as yet from the club on that, but apart from their Tuesday late in the afternoon tweet to announce a last-minute change of venue for their home game against Bromsgrove Rovers that ended up being played at Hinckley LR instead. Again, a number of clubs that are always on the brink of a tragedy, a problem. I'm sure Nuneaton Borough aren't the only ones who have faced a similar issue this week. Sometimes it's difficult for us to find out about, and obviously we're constantly making telephone calls to try and find out as much information as possible. But again, I think fans just have to realise how difficult it is to run a non-league football club.
Yeah, very unforgiving, and you know, when things don't go right, then it can unravel very quickly, can't it? And you know, I honestly don't know too much about the current sort of situation. That's happened at the moment, like you've been aware. I've been sort of stuck in cinemas watching Trolls and things like that on mini railways.
But, Justin Timberlake, has he retired apart from Trolls films? I mean, it's the only where's he been?
It was good. I enjoyed it. But yeah, difficult. It has been over the years at Nuneaton, it's been a difficult period, isn't there? And they've sort of come through it, and hopefully they will. There's obviously a problem that needs to be addressed and looked at and sorted, and hopefully it is as soon as possible.
Yeah, and of course the Southend takeover was planned to be completed by the end of the month, but that appears that there was various legal paperwork and various company matters that are going to slow that down, as expected, I think. But inevitably, that's, you know, providing the creditors allow that delay, and I'm pretty sure they will if they think that this new owner is on tap and ready to go. That's going to mean a further extension on the player embargo on Kevin Mayer. Not that he might be that worried after the club extended their winning streak to four games midweek with their, what was it, a 3-0 win over Ipswich.
Yeah, absolutely flying. As you say, it might be getting slowed down off the pitch, the sale, but on the pitch, there's no stopping them at the moment. I think without that 10-point deduction, they'd be something like the league. Sort of 6 or 7 playoffs at the moment now, which, you know, kind of, if you're a Southend fan and you're thinking, well, get this takeover through, let's really give the manager the chance that he needs. He's been doing a job, not just sort of one hand tied behind his back, but two at times. And everything that's sort of been going on there, and how the squad have kind of coped with that, you know, those setbacks. And the light is at the end of the tunnel. It's coming. It will hopefully be all sorted sooner rather than later. But if they can really get themselves stable again, then they you wouldn't rule them out getting into those playoffs. Mm. Now they'll be eyeing that up and thinking, well, we have got a real chance of getting in there. We're a good side, and in the as well, which makes it even more impressive. And you know, we've said time and again on here, haven't we, what Kev Mayer and his staff are doing, and it's showing again. And you know, they may have used this to bring them stronger, to closer together. And I spoke to Callum Powell earlier in the season. He's picked up an injury recently, isn't he? But you know, he talked about how together they are as a squad, and how it has all the situation has really bonded them, and how close they are, and how desperate they are to do well for each other. And that's showing. You know, if they can, that would be some story if they could get in those playoffs this season. You know, there's obviously a long way to go, and lots of football to be played, but that would be some story.
Indeed, there is a long, long way to go, but in the National League, the big game midweek between Barnet and Chesterfield ended 1-1, and Chesterfield notched a 4-0 win over York City. I think that now leaves Chesterfield, 2 points clear with a game in hand. There is a long way to go, but I don't think any of us are too surprised that Chesterfield are out there leading.
Well, I think it's probably the first time I've ever predicted somebody might win the league and do well, and they've actually sort of not made me look silly in the first kind of opening couple of months of the season. So not that it was a particularly bold call, suddenly become a genius or anything like that, because you know we could all see the strength of the squad, the strength of their summer recruitment, and you know how close they were last season. So yeah, they are definitely the ones to stop. But you know, as you say, Barnet going great, Bromley are as well. What great job Dean Brennan's doing at Barnet and Andy Woodman doing at Bromley. You know, unbelievable really how well those managers have been performing consistently in the last couple of years. But National League is the National League, and you see Oldham win a thriller of Rochdale on the weekend, and then on Tuesday night what goes and happens again, lose to Fylde, and that just sums the league up, and that's why we love it, because anything can kind of happen.
That's why we love non-league football. Lots of you've got FA Vars ties, FA Trophy ties, league action this weekend are reported on. I'd imagine some FA Cup previews as well. Anything else we can expect in this weekend's non-league paper?
Yeah, that's all in there. So Trophy, Vars, FA Cup previews. We've got a tribute from Ashington to Bobby Charlton, your hometown hero. Obviously, sadly passed away last weekend. Football icon in this country. They've made a nice tribute to, paid a nice tribute to him. Piece coming with Gary Hooper, who's talking of Barnet. A real non-league success story from Greys. We won the FA Trophy, part of two FA Trophy winning sides, and you know went on to have this amazing career, played New Camp of Celtic and played in all Premier League down, and he's been away the last few years sort of around the world, playing in Australia and I think maybe Dubai as well. And at Barnet, back in non-league at Barnet, I think he scored his first goal the other night, and got a nice piece with him coming. I've got a piece with Farnham Town, one of the 100% record at the moment. Yeah. Like John Couch has spoken to them, absolutely fly. But columnist Gregor Robertson, looking at the situation at Barnet actually, and you know how well they're going under Brennan, and Tony, a non-league expert, Tony Incenza has also been on his travels again, and a nice piece from a shining the light on a lower league club there. So plenty in this weekend's paper.
Oh, plenty to read about, and plenty of reasons to get up on a Sunday morning. Matt Backup, thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. We'll look forward to speaking to you soon. That's it then for this week. Thank you as ever to all of my guests, and good luck to all of those involved in both the FA Vars, FA Trophy and league action this weekend. A big thank you to everybody for listening too. Don't forget you can follow us on social media, get involved there at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L, and you can follow us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podcast, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. I will, just before I go, give a mention to our very own stat man, Mr. Phil Annette, at FA Cup Fact File, also FA Vars Fact File, who underwent an operation this week. We are all thinking of you, Phil. I need you back very, very soon. Take care, and hopefully we'll have you back on the air soon. Stay safe, everybody. Enjoy your football. Thank you, and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber production. J-I-B-B-A, J-A-B-B-A.